The PK Podcast.
And welcome back to the
PK Podcast.
Hey, we're at the PK Podcast. We got your host, Juan Rodriguez.
And Nicholas Rodriguez.
And Nicholas Rodriguez is me. Juan Rodriguez is him. He is a pastor. I'm his kid. Pastor's kid. PK Podcast, where we talk about
life,
love,
and spirituality.
Yes, sir. Through the eyes of a pastor and his son. That's me. I'm your son.
You are my kid.
You are my kid.
Hey, welcome back. I'm glad you are listening together with us right now.
Hope and you're doing all right.
That you are doing well enough to be able to hear us.
How'd you sleep last night?
I slept well. Thank
I
you.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the
to the listeners?
Yes.
How will they respond?
Maybe they'll just think about it.
Oh, they'll think about
it. I hope you slept well last night. I hope you had a good breakfast, good lunch, good dinner.
Maybe they maybe they'll message us and say, I slept well.
Maybe. Leave a little 5-star review and say, I slept pretty good last night. Thank you.
I slept well. Thank you.
Speaking of sleep.
Yes.
You like this?
Yeah.
You like this transition I'm
I
doing right
it.
Now?
I love it.
Welcome to Dreams Part 3.
Dreams 3.0.
Dreams 3.0, baby. 3.0. Mm-hmm.
Talking about another dream.
Yes.
There's the dreamer over there.
I'm a dreamer.
I am the interpreter.
Welcome to the Dream Boys Podcast. I'm Nicholas Rodriguez, your resident dream boy.
And I'm
Juan Rodriguez, your resident dream interpreter.
That's right. Let me get in the zone.
Get in the zone.
All right. Share your dream now.
And get ready to react, Dad. Get ready when I say something crazy. You go, whoa, really? Stuff like that.
Gotcha. All right.
All right, Dad.
Whoa, really? So I was practicing.
That was awesome. You did a very good job. Okay, Dad, are you ready?
I'm ready.
So,
mm-hmm.
We're on a family vacation.
This is your dream. We're on a family vacation.
On a family vacation.
All right.
We're in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, Sin City.
I remember I was trying to put together for the longest time where my dream was taking place.
Okay.
Because I knew it wasn't where we live.
All right.
And I was like, where is it? And then I remember a deserty place, a long strip, mm-hmm. and a pyramid.
Okay.
And I knew it wasn't Egypt.
Right.
Because there were buildings and stores and shops on the strip and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, this is definitely Vegas. That mm-hmm. was the pyramid in Vegas, right? The casino or whatever the pyramid is.
Right, the hotel.
Casino, hotel. Yeah. And so we're walking down the strip, and it's all of us. Me, you, Bubu, Mom, and Alex.
Gotcha.
We pull up to an outlet.
Outlet store?
Outlet store.
Okay.
We pull up to an outlet store, and there's a dude on the outside going, hey, you got to come in here. You got to come in here. If you just love life, if you like quality— You got to get in here, right?
Right.
And so we go inside, and it's this gray, like, the interior is very gray.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so we, it's this gray room, and it's got a bunch of clothes that are also all very bland,
mm-hmm.
right? But on them, they all say in white text, in, like, a very basic, like, impact font, they say, I'll say control.
Control.
They don't say control on them.
All the shirts.
All of them. All the shirts, all the undies, like, on the waistband of the undies, it says control. All
right.
And all this kind of stuff. So we're looking through the undies. Oh, man, you're going to make me yawn. we're looking through.
It says control.
Okay, it says control on everything. Underwear,
everything.
Shirts,
underwear,
everything.
Shirts, pants, whatever.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. So we're looking at the stuff, and we're like, man, this looks pretty good, but I don't know if any of us are in the market for undies. And this guy's trying to sell it to us, and he's like, nah, these undies are the best undies you ever feel in your entire life. You got to get them. Control undies are top-notch underwear. We're like, dude, I'm sorry, man, but we are not messing with this right now. We're going to get out of here. And he goes, no, you're not. And then he takes out a chainsaw.
What?
Yeah. He takes out a chainsaw, and he starts chasing us around the store.
Oh, my word.
He starts chasing us around the store, and he cuts off my arm with a chainsaw.
In your dream, your arm gets cut off.
Yeah.
There's blood gushing everywhere, I'm assuming.
Well, no, actually. It like, weirdly solders it. Like, I'm not bleeding. It's now my arm is off, and, like, I have a really fresh, disgusting wound, but, like, I'm not bleeding out.
Oh, okay. That's good.
It was all right. It still hurt a lot, right? But we're running. We're running out of this place now. Like, okay, we got to bounce. There's no way we're staying here. We're running, trying to run away from them. And then we have these, like, Secret Service-looking dudes chasing us down now, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, my gosh, what even is going on? We're like, we gotta split up, right? Everybody's gotta go somewhere else because there's only like one or two guards, and they're not gonna be able to keep track of us if we split up, right? So Mom, Alex, and Boo Boo go somewhere, and me and you go into this theater, and they're like, yeah, you got any tickets to watch a movie? And we're like, no, we don't have any tickets. We just need to. Can we go in there real fast? We just need to go in there real fast. And they were like, no, I'm sorry. If you don't have a ticket, you can't even come in. And we're like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? Like, we need to be in there. And then he goes, oh, yeah. Like, and also, by the way, this dream is a while ago, so I could be getting some stuff, like, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, none of us will know because it's your dream.
Well, I mean, some people might know because I told them had the dream, like right after I'd had the dream.
Gotcha.
Right.
For those
so
of you who know,
if they remember it better than I do,
some details might change.
Yeah, don't be too mad at me that I'm changing the way my dream works just in case because I don't
remember exactly.
Well, I remember all the important stuff.
Right.
Right. But I remember that we couldn't get into this theater. And they were like, oh, so you must be here for the presentation. And we're like, yeah, sure. Who cares? So we get inside of this theater, and people are going up on stage going, yeah, you know, I dealt with drug addiction my entire life. And, you know, I'm just trying to get through this. And everybody was like, yeah, woo! We're like, what is going on? Right? And, and then they go, all right, you next. And they're talking to me. Like, what? So I don't have this arm. And I go up on stage, and I start talking about my life story. I start talking about mental health. I start talking about all this kind of stuff, and I don't have an
Weird.
Arm. Nobody questions it. I don't have an arm. I'm talking to these people about mental health and stuff like that, and they're like, yeah, yeah. And then I look over at you, and you're looking at me with those blank face. Like, you're looking at me like you just saw a ghost.
Mm.
And I'm like, what is going on? What's wrong with my dad? Like, I was absolutely terrified that something was going on with you. And then I saw these agents starting to come in, and I was like, oh, no. And then I start melting.
You start melting?
I started melting.
Wow.
So then I start melting, and I see you get up out of your seat.
Mm-hmm.
My point of view now officially switches to you.
Oh, you.
I'm now looking through your eyes.
You're in my brain.
Yes.
Whoa.
I'm now looking through your eyes. And you have a shotgun.
Whoa, look at me. Do I have two arms?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
You have a shotgun.
It's hard to have a shotgun
but
with only one arm.
But this is the crazy part.
Mm-hmm.
You go up the stairs of this theater where there are hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And behind one of the hotel room doors, you can hear our family is in that room.
Okay.
And you pull out a shotgun and go in front of the door where they're staying.
Mm-hmm.
And you shoot the door with the shotgun.
All right.
And instead of the door getting blown off or even bullet holes going through it or anything like that, you just hear, and confetti shoots out.
Out of the
door.
Door.
Like, okay. You shoot the door, and you go, and then it goes, like you just accomplished something.
All right. Awesome.
Like, mission accomplished, right?
All right.
And then there's this, it gets very hazy. I'm not 100% sure what happens in between that and then the agents coming in and catching us.
Okay.
Right?
Catching me, which is you inside of me.
Well, yeah. I don't remember if my brain goes back to me.
In a melted state?
In a melted state.
Okay.
Right? So the agents come in.
So are you slithering along in a melted state?
No, I'm just chilling in a puddle
you're
on the
chilling,
stage.
You're stating you're in the puddle
yeah,
on the stage.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And but I do remember looking down at my underwear, and it's saying control.
Oh, look at that.
So it ended up that I was wearing them.
And you didn't even know.
And I didn't even know.
Until you melted.
Until I melted.
Wow.
That I was wearing control undies.
All right.
I was like, man, what is going on? And then I wake up, but it's a fake wake up.
Okay.
Right? So I wake up,
It's like Inception. You're going into yeah. the other layer.
Exactly. Okay. I wake up, and I'm in this white space, and they go, please. Okay, so anybody who goes to the optometrist, you know what I'm talking about right now. When you got to sit forward, and you got to put your chin on that little thing, and then your forehead on the other thing when they're testing your eyes. Have you ever done that, Dad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like that. You have to put your chin through this hole, and your head goes into this hole. And I'm in a white room, and I'm sticking my head through one side of the wall. So on the other side of the wall, all you see is my head on this little chin stand thing, right, in a white room. And then I hear, repeat these words after I say them. I will never speak of control again.
Oh, my word.
And then I go, I will never speak of control again. And then they're like, they just tell me to say a bunch of stuff like that. Like, I have never worn control, and I have never been associated with control. And I say that, and they're like, control is very safe and is good for consumer use. And then I say that, right? And then I knock out again, and I wake up again, fake wake up.
Wow, third level of Inception dream.
Yep, I do another fake wake up, and in this, I wake up at actually an old friend of mine. I was staying over at his house, right? I was staying over at his house, and that in that night, right, in my dream, I woke up in the exact position where I was sleeping and where I was, and he was in the position where he was, and it was the morning, and the house was recreated perfectly, right? And so I was convinced I was awake at this point in the dream, right? Like, because I was in full control of my body. Right. So we're just talking. And in my dream, I'm telling him about the dream that I just had. And then he's like, whoa, that's crazy, man. That's crazy. And then he goes, how are we supposed to tell even what is real with stuff like that? Like, what if that's the real world and what we're in right now is fake? And I was like, true. And I go over to the fridge to grab a drink. And there are Incredibles magnets on the
Incredibles, like the Incredibles cartoon.
Like the Incredibles cartoon.
Superheroes?
Yeah, okay. The superheroes. There are Incredibles magnets on the fridge. He does not have Incredibles magnets on that fridge. Mm. And so I was like, when did you get these Incredibles magnets? And he goes, what Incredibles magnets? And then suddenly the entire world starts crushing in on itself. And whoa. Everything starts pulling apart like it's glitching. Like the world is going through this glitch. And we're like, and I'm screaming like I'm dying and I feel real pain. And then he was saying something. I don't even remember what it was. He was saying some crazy stuff, and I was like, that doesn't even make any sense. Mm. And then I actually woke up like this. I promise you, I woke up in the bed in this house like this. Oh, thank God. And that was when I actually woke up, and I told him about this dream.
Oh.
So, yeah, that was my dream.
Mercy.
Dreams 3.0.
Mercy, that is a crazy dream.
Tell me what's up, Doc.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is going to be hard because we're talking about three levels of dreams here.
Yeah, but it's all connected.
It's all connected, but it's three levels.
Right.
So I will say this. I think there are a few things here that you can dig into. Mm-hmm. There's a problem with control.
Well, that is the name of the clothes, yeah.
So how do you, when it comes to control, how do you respond to either someone controlling you or you being in control?
I think I have I've always had a problem with somebody else being in control of me.
Okay.
But I think a big insecurity that I used to have, especially when I had this dream, mm-hmm. was when people think that they're in control of me. So they feel like they can tell me things, mm-hmm. even though they have no control over me.
Right.
But because I am a very, because I overanalyze and I overthink everything, mm-hmm. when people would tell me things like as if they were allowed to control me, part of me believed them, right? And so it would make me even more angry that part of me believed them. So I would purposefully do the antithesis of what they told me, even if it was something that I would have done on my own because they told me to do it. Because I had a problem with these people in my life thinking, because they're not my parents, right? These aren't people, these aren't authority figures, right? So these people that thought they could control my actions.
Like your peers, your friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And my peers, a very small amount of them, right? Peers at the time.
Right.
Maybe even just peer.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
But it established a great insecurity within me that I would childishly act upon in response to this, because I still don't think that anybody should think that they're above you to a point to where, like, what they say should be taken, you know, like as law, right? Okay. Or, like, I'm in control of this situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that even if you're in this situation too, since I'm in control of it, I get to decide what happens here, right?
Mm.
It's almost like somebody at a playground going, hey, anybody want to play hide-and-go-seek, right?
Right.
And then they catch you, and you're like, ah, rats, you caught me. And he's like, yeah, I did, right? But then you catch him, and he's like, no, see, but this is my game, right? So here are the new rules to hide-and-seek. You have to specifically do this when you do it. It's like that, right? It's like the evolved version of that where it's like real-life situations. Like, bro, what the heck? So I would react very childishly to that in fear of being somebody, and only to myself, because I doubt anybody else viewed me like this, but being somebody who was subject to what somebody else desired of me always.
Mm-mm-mm.
Right? And I mean, that's pure insecurity, because if somebody goes, hey, can you do this? Or not can you do this, but hey, you need to go do that, right? Or you shouldn't have done that, or all this kind of stuff. Like, if you truly do believe that, right, or if you want to do that, then you should have no problem doing it regardless of what they told you, right? Because you're going to do it anyway. So who cares if you look like a submissive dude? It's like, this was something I was going to do anyways. And if it's not something I'm going to do, then I won't do it. Like, who cares?
Right.
You know? So, yeah, I've had a problem with – and then, are you kidding me, with control over myself? That's a fear that I've had forever. Right?
Like, is self-control?
No, like controlling my thoughts.
Oh,
controlling my mind, controlling my feelings, you know? I also think, and I don't mean to play decipherer here for a second, but a fear that I've had since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Are you aware of disassociation?
Mm-hmm.
So a fear that I've had since for a while, but that was really big when I was a kid, and now it's just like when I see things that are like it, then it's scary. Like, so in the this is a little spoiler, guys. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
In the movie, the new Matrix movie,
the new Matrix Resurrections.
Matrix Resurrections. In that movie, which me and my father both greatly enjoyed, There's a part where he's in this room or Keanu Reeves' character, Neo, is in this room and he's on the floor and he's like cradled up, and there are a bunch of dudes shooting guns in the office, and they're just like, everything's blowing up, the entire office is getting ruined, he doesn't know what to do. And then Keanu Reeves starts to go, he goes, feel my fingertips, what am I touching, I'm touching my legs, and then he opens his eyes back up, and he is in the therapy room.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that terrifies me, that like one day I'll just be living my life and then suddenly I'll be like my heart will start racing and I'll go, no, this isn't right. This isn't right. And so I'll do those reassociation tactics of like touching my hand. You know, what am I feeling? I'm feeling my hand. Okay, here I am. What are my memories? I remember being like this. I remember being raised in Jacksonville, Florida. I remember all this kind of stuff. These are real memories. These aren't fake memories. There are my shoes. I remember buying these shoes. These are nice shoes, right? So I'll go through that, and then I'll open my eyes, and I'm in a completely different situation than I thought I was, right?
Mm.
Or like, oh, and when I watch the Matrix movie, whenever that part happens, my heart races because it reminds me of that fear,
yeah.
Right? That disassociation fear,
right.
Of like, I'll just be eating a bowl of cereal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking at the bowl of cereal, and I imagine, like, do you know what a screen tear effect is?
Screen terror effect?
Screen tear. So the idea of screen tearing is that, let's say I'm eating a bowl of cereal,
mm-hmm.
right? And the camera has me here in first person eating
right.
the bowl of cereal.
Right.
And then suddenly I'll move the bowl of cereal, and the screen will start to tear, and the colors will start to mix, and everything starts to look kind of distorted, until it weirdly transitions into another image. Right? So I'll be eating a bowl of cereal, and I imagine eating it and then maybe closing my eyes, right? Maybe closing my eyes, eating the cereal, and then opening them up and then seeing that I'm in the same position, but I'm doing something completely different. Like maybe I'm holding a stack of clothes and I'm in a house that I don't recognize.
Weird.
And I'm about to do the laundry. That's a terrifying idea. So disassociation as well, which is also something that happens in this dream too. I disassociate multiple times in this dream.
Wow.
You know, with the whole thing of me waking up in the other room and
right
and all that kind of stuff. And
that is some serious yeah. Inception-style dreams.
But anyways, yeah, so control, yes, and then my little added thing of disassociation.
Right.
For sure.
Hmm.
Anything else you got for me?
Well, I got some of the guy that, you know, sawed off your arm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was definitely wanting to control you, and that he would do anything to try to get to control you.
Yeah.
Bring fear into your life and destroy you.
Yep.
So I think that is, that character is the devil.
Yeah.
Yep. He's trying to destroy you, get at you, and trying to control you, and he'll do anything to have control, even chop off your arm. Or saw off your arm. He didn't chop it off. Sawed off your arm.
And send people at me, too.
Yep.
Send others to get
right.
me.
I think that's important to recognize is that we're living in a spiritual warfare. It's real. And the devil doesn't like you.
And also, the devil doesn't wait, right? We were just in Las Vegas having a vacation.
Right.
Devil's not going to be like, let me wait until something really bad happens.
Right.
No, he is the really bad thing that happens
yeah.
amongst good.
That is true. Yeah. Dreams 3.0 is very interesting. And then you go
yes.
off into the stage and you melt.
Yes, I melt talking about my history.
That's right.
Yep.
So, again, there's some fear involved there. You melt away. As you're sharing stuff about yourself.
Yeah, yes.
And fear has to be overcome in your life. But I think it's funny that you're wearing control underwear. And as a side interpretation,
yeah.
I would say that you need to control your pants.
What? Oh, my gosh.
If any temptation comes your way,
oh my
control
gosh.
Your pants.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I'm the interpreter. And so, or else you will melt away your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want your life to be melted away.
No, I don't.
So fear, melting away your life because you're trying to control
my pants.
Your undies.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I mean, that's I got, those are some things that I'm throwing out there at you that you hopefully will grab and
what
take.
What about the shotgun with the confetti?
Oh, well, that's right, because now you were inside of me.
Yes,
right?
And you shot the door that our family was staying in and confetti came out.
That's right. I shot the door, and so what happened was is that you were entrapped. Because you were inside that door, right? You were
no I was still on the stage.
Oh, that's right. You were still melted away, but you were no longer in my brain.
What? No, I melted before I entered your brain.
I know that. But what I'm saying is, at the time that I got the shotgun, you were still in my brain?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were on the stage and in my brain at the same time I had the shotgun.
Yeah, but I didn't feel myself on the stage. I saw myself on the stage through you.
Right.
Right. So and I wasn't in my physical body.
Correct.
Like my soul exited my melted body and
right.
entered you.
Or your brain.
Or my brain.
Your brain. And so I went into, so as I have this shotgun and I'm shooting that door, you are in my brain.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's right. So that is you desiring to become a pastor.
This is a funny podcast episode.
You desiring to become a pastor and rescuing people.
So I'm going to shoot the door my family's in?
Sometimes you have to use extra force to reach out to people, including your family. You shoot the door because when you shoot the door, confetti comes out.
Ta-da!
There is a celebration
yeah.
when you rescue your family and when you rescue other people.
Okay.
As you
become.
But what if you shot through the door
the
and it killed them?
The possible pastor that God wants you to be.
What if that killed them, though?
That wouldn't have killed them. I know what I'm doing.
But you're not you. I'm you.
Oh, you're my brain, but I was in control of the shotgun.
How do you know that? It's my dream.
I know things.
You know you were
I'm the interpreter.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that, yes. Okay, so then what about me waking up in the room talking about that I will not talk down on control and that I'll never tell anybody my story. I'm not associated with control and all that kind of stuff.
I think that you're not associated with control if people try to destroy you and control over you like the devil.
What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, the devil wants to control you, right?
Yeah.
So you have to disassociate yourself in a real way from the devil so that he's no longer controlling your life, but you're submitting to the control of God.
Right.
And moving forward in his strength.
Okay.
And bam, you wake up to real life.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I woke up in the fake real life and looked at an Incredibles magnet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I told my old buddy about my dream, and then we started dying.
Right.
The whole world started dying.
Yeah, it started going.
Yeah,
that one's a hard one. I have no idea about The Incredibles.
What's the
That one, I cannot tell you anything about.
Sorry
about Incredibles.
That.
I have no idea why The Incredibles were there. I have to do some more digging into
that
one.
The scariest part about that, though, is that the entire house was perfectly remade. I've never had a dream where the entire thing is exactly how it is in real life.
Wow.
Exactly. Mm. It was scary.
It must have been. You went through some different levels of Inception dreams there.
I did. So then if we were to give an overall theme of the understanding of the deciphering of this dream, right?
Right.
Control, the fear of control, the insecurity that being out of control provides me,
mm-hmm.
right?
The power of having control unless you melt.
Right.
Yeah.
The devil trying to attack me, using control as a weapon,
mm-hmm.
right? And then there's also that genuine fear that I've had of disassociation, just because of my mind, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, see, you already interpreted that part, so.
I did.
Yeah, so I didn't have to.
I'm pretty good at that. I'm picking it up.
You're picking it up.
Eventually, we don't need to have any
more
dreams
episodes.
You're
picking up the mantle, you're picking up the shotgun, you're rescuing people, you're becoming a pastor.
Man, that cannot be what that dream meant.
I'm the interpreter.
Okay, sure. Well, yeah, that was my dream. It's not the longest one.
Yeah, that's an interesting dream.
Thank you.
Yeah. You have interesting Inception-type dreams. So I think ultimately when you look at it, at the whole big picture of it all,
okay,
there is healthy control.
Right.
And there's unhealthy control.
Right.
And you have the deciding power of what control will be in control of your life.
Right. Because control overall, I think that, you know, working in extremes with anything is a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
So control overall can be good and it can be bad. You just need to choose the good one. There's not like, yeah, control is bad or control is good. In my dream, control was primarily bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Well, choose healthy control.
I will choose healthy control.
Choose Jesus controlling you.
Yes, because if I'm in full control, then who knows what I'm going to do. Right?
So that would be scary.
I need to give God the reins.
Give God the reins. Jesus, take the wheel.
Sometimes I just got to say some things, and then people are like, wow, that was really profound. And then I'm like, I did not mean to say that.
That's right.
That was God who said that, not me.
That's what you got
to
do.
Which is something that I have made a habit of doing for the past few years when I talk to people,
mm-hmm.
like when people ask me for advice.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I always do this little prayer in my head
mm-hmm.
where I go, God, I don't want to talk right now.
Good.
You need to talk.
There you go.
Because if I talk, you know, I don't know any better than they do, you know, which, again, isn't to say that, you know, my words are holy.
Right.
It's to say that God's words are. And I think that there is nothing to lose when doing that. Like, you only have stuff to gain. And if it does help my friends, if it truly does, like I see a better change in them, then I make sure to tell them. I was like, I want to let you know that there was a hand in this.
Mm.
God's hand was in this because I pray. I pray for you every day. Every time we have one of these conversations, I pray beforehand for him to speak.
Come on now, Shotgun Preacher.
Shotgun Preacher, baby. It's me. I'm a danger. I'm a danger to the church world. Don't stop me. I'm going to walk up with a shotgun.
Mm.
I won't shoot you, though. I'll save you.
You'll rescue. Rescue the family.
Just kidding. I'm not going to be a pastor. And with that said, that's the PK podcast.
Well, you never know what can happen. I'm the interpreter.
How funny would it be we come around season 4 and we go, yep, guess who's a pastor now?
Bam.
That would be so funny. What a finale to the I almost want to do that just to have a good payoff.
Good payoff.
To the finale. Like when we brought mom on after talking about her for 2 seasons.
There you go.
Right? It's like, remember when we talked about me being a pastor for 4 seasons? Yeah. Now I'm a pastor.
Well, bam.
What a joke.
That'd be awesome.
No. All right, guys. I hope this helped in some way. I hope it blessed you.
There you
and if
go.
Not, I hope it just made you laugh. Maybe brought you some happiness, brought you some joy.
I'm your interpreter, Juan Rodriguez.
And I'm your dreamer boy, Nicholas Rodriguez. God made you special.
And he loves you very much.
Bye.
Bye.